Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Caliber Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting with the Vice President, Corporate Development and Investor Relations, Ryan King. Now, Caliber is really a multi-prong company here where the company has production and exploration going on in Nicaragua, as well as after the acquisition last year of the Pan Mine, also has this production and exploration in Nevada. We are going to focus with Ryan in this interview on the exploration side of this company. We've talked a lot about the continued production growth and the cash flow that is generated from the producing activities within the company. But there's a lot of exploration ongoing. So, Ryan, I want to start off with one of the more recent news releases. March 22nd, Caliber Mining advances the high-grade Pavón Central open pit mine development and announces expansion drill results. Before we get into the individual results, Ryan, can you provide a bit of an overview on the plans and strategy when it comes to exploration on the Nicaraguan assets?
Sure, yeah. Thanks very much, guys, for having us back on the show, and it's always a pleasure. And you know, you outlined that really well. It is a multi-pronged company. It really is. I mean, we've got a lot of things going on, but truthfully, I feel that it's a very exciting, pivotal time for the company. If you look back at over the last 2.5 years since owning the Limón and Libertad and Pavón assets, we've been able to go from a reserve base of 280,000 ounces since acquiring the assets in Q4 2019, to a little over 1 million ounces at the highest grade reserves the company and these assets have seen. And that's really driven by debottlenecking assets. That's also driven by de-orphaning some of the satellite deposits like Pavón and Eastern Borosi. And so it's a pretty exciting time for us now that we've got a very solid platform of reserves, multiple years in front of us backed by reserves. And this year now it's a transition. It's a little transition away from infill drilling and increasing confidence in lower categories to higher categories of reserves to now looking further afield, reloading our project pipeline. It's, you know, probably a breakdown of between 70 and 80% resource expansion and discovery approaches this year. And then, you know, sort of 20, 30% increasing confidence in our overall resource base. And so this year we've set out to do probably about 85,000 meters of diamond drilling in Nicaragua at our four key assets. Limón, that's producing, you know, between 50 and 70,000 ounces a year, has a 500,000 ton per annum mill fully utilized. So we're drilling at a number of targets in and around the mill, extensions to current resources. Over at Libertad, right when we acquired this, Libertad was heading towards closure because it did not have any sort of feed for the mill, a large 2.2 million ton per annum mill. And this year we'll mill probably about 1.1 to 1.2 million tons through that mill. So that gives us about 1 million tons of surplus capacity. Essentially what that is two times the size of the annual milling capacity at Limón. So, you know, a significant capacity for organic growth, installed infrastructure there. And where we're drilling there is we're drilling around the mill. We've actually discovered a new zone that we call Volcan. It's a near surface, looks like open pittable resource. There's no resource there yet. We didn't have enough drilling data in time in 2021 to put out a resource, but it looks quite attractive. We've had some very good intercepts. And in fact, the last intercept in 2021 hit 15 grams over 5 meters. And I know the teams have been out there in the field drilling. We've got 3 rigs on Volcan right now. We're also drilling a few other targets in and around and on the concession of Libertad. At the same time, we've got a larger concession just to the, I believe it's to the north of Libertad, called Amalia. This is a concession equal to the size of the whole of Libertad's mineral concession. And prior to Caliber getting there, had not had any drilling done on it. So we've identified through some mapping, some geochemistry work that we've done, some new targets. So we're drilling some of these new targets. And you know, this concession is located about 30 kilometers from the Libertad mill. So other opportunities there for us to make new discoveries and expand resources. And of course, you saw, as you mentioned, we're drilling at Pavón, where in 2021, we started mining and hauling material from the Pavón Norte open pit. We were successful at hitting our target 1,000 tons a day in the second half of 2021. And at about an average grade of 3 grams per ton gold by open pit. And what the news release there, March 22nd, talked about is advancing Pavón Central, the second open pit in a sequence of three. And fortunately, in this situation, is the reserve grade at Pavón Central is 6.5 grams per ton gold. So a very high grade open pit project. And as evidenced by the news release, we are finding additional resources along strike, well, additional zones along strike to the south, particularly. And we've had some good hits to the north as well. So we've got some rigs drilling along that vein trend. But we anticipate that Pavón Central will start coming online by the end of this year or early 2023. And if some of the folks out there have seen some of our disclosure, we've been talking about a grade-driven increase in production in 23 and 24. So we're going to see similar amounts of material mined and hauled, but our production is going to be increasing because of grade, which should lead to lower cost per ounce overall for 23, 24, and 25. So an exciting time for us on that approach, but also on the exploration side of things as we're working on all the assets. And then up at Eastern Borosi, we are drilling now. We've got two rigs operating up there, a long strike and some of the new targets we've identified in the almost 200 square kilometer land package. And so we're pretty excited about that, considering we now have over 200,000 ounces of reserve, a good resource base there, and working through permitting this year. And we anticipate that by Q2 or Q3 of 2023, we'll start mining at Eastern Borosi, the high-grade open pit called Guapinal. That will be the initial starter pit. And by the second half of next year, we'll be mining there. So it's another, we'll call it rinse and repeat of Pavón Norte, which we've demonstrated we can execute on very well. But it's an exciting time for us because of all of the drilling across the board that's happening on not just a couple of assets around mills, but spread out. Because there is some really good geological opportunity that we've identified, and it's a big year for us.
Well, Ryan, that's a very good summary of the growth going on at really all four of the main areas. And as you've mentioned, your ability as a company to bring in all these orphaned satellite areas and show that you can build a hub and spoke model is very impressive. Let's just circle back to a couple of those that you just outlined just to get a little more detail. First up, let's break down Pavón for people that are trying to make sense of it, because you have the Pavón Norte. And then in the press release that you just put out on the 22nd, you're really highlighting Pavón Central, but also did some work at Pavón South. So just explain to people what areas are in production, what areas are in development, and then what areas are really new discovery in that whole Pavón complex.
Yeah, sure. No, it's... So for Pavón, I mean, it's a fairly large land package. You know, just for the benefit of our audience here is that when we acquired all of these assets, these were part of the suite of assets that were in the deal with B2 Gold in Q4 2019. There was no 43-101 resource at the time. We put together a new resource estimate as we identified the mineralization came to surface. So an open pit resource of a little over 300,000 ounces in all categories. We've since then progressed it on to reserves. So we have a number of, I think it's over 200,000 ounces in reserves at Pavón, or close to 200,000 ounces in reserves. So yeah, you talked a little bit about the development and the production. So in 2020, we started and initiated the permitting process for Pavón Norte. And by August of 2020, we received an approval after significant amount of public consultation and working through the mining legislation to start mining at Pavón Norte. And so we began that in the second half of 2020. And, you know, the fortunate situation here is you don't need tailings. You don't need a tailings impoundment. There's no need for huge amounts of infrastructure, i.e. a mill, because, again, you know, we're utilizing the good infrastructure in the country. We're mining at Pavón North and then hauling it to Libertad, which which has been quite effective for us. And, you know, you do that very methodically, slowly, educating communities, working closely with contractors. And by September of 2021, after slowly ramping up throughout the year, we hit our target of 1,000 tons a day hauled from Pavón Norte to Libertad for processing. So Pavón North, of course, is in production. The second asset there, is, as we've been talking about, is Pavón Central, which doubled the reserve grade that is compared to Pavón Norte. And so, yeah, it's going to be higher production, very likely leading to lower per ounce costs, considering the same amount of volume, material moved, et cetera. And so we've had some good results to the north at the Pavón Central deposit. I think we hit one of the better intercepts was 4.5 grams over almost 10 meters right near surface. And then to the south of that, to the south of this known zone or defined reserve and resources at Pavón Central, we hit 8.5 grams over 4 meters right near surface as well. So there is, it looks like, potential down to the south. I would say more so to the south than to the north, from based on what we know at the moment. But two rigs are operating at Pavón Central and Pavón South. And both have been known. Both are already in. Pavón Central's in reserve and resource category, and Pavón South is in resource category. So we do think there's some really good potential to expand to the south in between the two zones. And additionally, on top of that, is we've actually staked all of the concessions around to the east, to the south, and to the west of the known, what we call the Natividad Pavón mineral concession. And so we anticipate that shortly here we'll get an approval for that. We'll start going into the environmental impact process for exploration to get drilling and exploration activity on the new concession that surrounds it, because it does look like the vein trends go right through the Natividad mineral concession and onto our new concession that we're very, very shortly here about to, I think, get approved on. So, and we anticipate that'll happen sometime in the next 3-6 months. So pretty exciting opportunity at Pavón, especially as you see grades going up, making new discovery and expanding resources. There's good potential to further that opportunity to expand resources. And as I say, particularly to the south, based on what our geological work has shown so far.
Ryan, another area, or I guess project, that I do want to talk to you about is this Eastern Borosi project. We've talked about it in the past, and this is, in a way, more of a development play from my understanding. You guys are going through some of the economic studies, still need to, I believe, get another permit to produce from this potential open pit and underground operation. Give us an update from Eastern Borosi, not just exploration, but also in terms of the development timeline too, please.
Yeah, sure. And you're right. Eastern Borosi is in development right now. It's in the permitting process as well. So last year, 2021, we completed metallurgical work, metallurgical drilling and testing, geotechnical drilling and testing. We started to, of course, get all of the necessary data for permitting. We advanced public consultations on the property. And so we've now submitted applications for permits. And as we've seen by based on Pavón, the submission through to approvals, again, you've got to really be on top of this with your public consultations, very transparent communications that we do with our local and host communities, local governments and national governments, and just, you know, systematically progress them along, following international codes of conduct, of course, and mining legislations that are in place. And we're working on now going through that permitting process. So anticipate probably by the end of the year, we would have a open pit and underground permits in place, starting with, of course, the open pit. This Wampanoag Vancouver vein system is where we would initiate mining and then hauling. And so, you know, that again, no tailings facility required, no mill required at this time. You know, hopefully in the future, on the back of some exploration success, you may look at down the road a situation where you could put a new mill in place up to the north. It is 400 kilometers from the Libertad mill on paved highways. However, that being said, it is still, even at, you know, current diesel prices, very economic for us to transport this type of material down to Lippertet, as we'd be hauling, you know, 5 to 6 gram material. So high grade open pit ore down to Lippertet, and we know that through metallurgical work, this will work well within the Lippertet facility. So going through the permitting, we can advance early works this year, you know, work on road widening and box culverts put in place and different infrastructure to prepare for the approvals. And because you don't have upfront capital for mills and upfront capital for tailings, et cetera, and you've got small amounts of infrastructure on site, it's relatively low capital intensive project. You know, again, Pavón, $10 to $15 million to get that up and running is somewhere around that for Eastern Borosi as well. And so now that we have reserves in place, we have higher levels of confidence of what we have there. And a tech report is actually coming out here in a matter of days before the end of March that will show some more details on Eastern Borosi, how it would be mined open pit initially and then underground. And so that's where we're at today. Anticipate having permits in place by the end of the year or early next year, and then finish the remaining construction and anticipate being in a position to start mining by, I'm going to say, as I said, Q2, Q3 of 2023, and start, you know, slowly and methodically hauling material down to the facility at Lippertet.
Well, Ryan, that's an exciting new spoke to be bringing on to bring down to the hub. And yeah. I'm glad you highlighted that even despite the higher diesel prices, that because of the very high grade nature of it, that 5 to 6 gram ton material, it'll still be very economic to drive down and truck it down to the Lippertet mill. Just one more quick area to touch on. And by the way, we didn't even mention that you have a JV with Rio Tinto at the Borosi Copper Project there too. That's yet another area that the company is working on with their partners, Rio Tinto. But just really quickly, around the Lippertet mine, you have mentioned in the past, and even in this discussion, you're having some drill success right there close to the Lippertet mill at Tranca, Volcan, Rosario. So maybe just quickly walk us through what's exciting about that, just A, for proximity, and B, because you're hitting some good results at the drills you have running down there.
Yeah, no, I'll do that. But just before we leave Eastern Borosi, I would encourage some of the audience to try and take some time, go to our website, and take a look at some of the figures that we put together from our last news release, I guess, on Eastern Borosi would have been in August of last year when we had the last set of results come out. You can see a grade thickness section within the Guapinol open pit. And it really does show there's all the pierce points on it of where the drill holes have been. And then there's areas of just big, wide, white gaps. And that's where there's no drill data. And so we do think there's some really good potential down plunge and a long strike of some of these key areas, Guapinol. Another one, for example, is Riscos de Oro, where it's just lack of drill data to be able to potentially pull resource sections together. And so there looks like some very good opportunities for expandability up there. And I'll say that right now, what we focused on last year was only 3 of the known 6 vein systems that are on the property. That have been worked on by Calibre recently. So there is some really good potential, and I would say a high priority for us is expanding resources up at Eastern Borosi. And then as you mentioned, Chad, is looking over at Lippertet. You're absolutely right. Really good potential at Lippertet, and as I discussed briefly in the beginning of the call, We have identified some really good potential right near the Lippertet facility. I think Volcan is located less than 5 kilometers away on the Lippertet concession. We've identified a couple of near surface zones which look like they would be open pitable, and then recently had some good success. We hit 9 grams over 2 meters. 11.4 grams over 5 meters, and then most recently one of the deeper holes, probably about 150 meters from surface, in between the two sort of shallow higher grade open pit zones that we identified, we hit 15 grams over 5 meters. So that's telling the team that it's quite analogous in a way to what previous operator B2Gold had mined at what we call the Mahan open pit. And so geologically, it looks similar. It just looks like this could be down dropped a little deeper into the system. And we'll see. We've got three rigs operating along Volcan, but Volcan is actually a 5-kilometer vein system with all the right silica clay alteration on surface. The vein trend is going for 5 kilometers. We've tested about 1.5 kilometers of it now, maybe 2 kilometers now. So it does look like it's got some potential to the southwest. And so pretty exciting on that one. And then you did mention Trenka, which is another one that we've been doing some work on. And we'll probably do some more drilling on this year, following up on 2021 assay results. And so particularly those two, out of the two, the highest priority at the moment, just because of the most recent success, would be on the Volcan vein trend. So yeah, it definitely has potential. And again, that wasn't included. No resources were included in our 2021 resource and reserve update. So let's see how the drilling goes this year. It could be quite impactful because, you know, for us, anywhere from 100 to 200 plus thousand ounce resource expansion and or new discovery can be quite impactful and have high return on invested capital just because we have all the infrastructure and it's very close to the mill.
All right, Ryan, thank you for all that information in terms of what's going on in Nicaragua. Now, let's also move over to Nevada, because as I mentioned just last year, you guys acquired the Pan Mine in Nevada. Give us a general overview here of what the strategy is in Nevada. There was a news release March 8th that outlined some drill results, but bring everybody up to speed on big picture. What's going on in Nevada at the Pan Mine?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's pretty exciting because we're now in a tier one mining jurisdiction in Nevada. The Fiore Gold team have done a really good job of advancing Pan and bringing it to a 40 to 50,000 ounce a year heap leach operating mine. and so what that allows us to do is kind of pick up from where they were. And if you go back a couple of years, in, I think it was 2019, the team installed a primary crusher to help get material onto the pad, liberate, and get some better recoveries. In 2020, I believe, in 2021 and 2020, they expanded their heap leach pads. So for a lot more tons, it could be placed on that pad, and there's lots of room of expandability. So a lot of their operating cash flow went into that business. It went into optimizing the operation. And if we look at Pan particularly over the last couple of years, and no fault of the operating team, the Fiore team done a great job. It was just they're limited on the operating cash flow they had to reinvest back into the business. Had only spent about $1 million to $1.5 million on average over the last 4 years at Pan in exploration. And so they're, you know, for an operating mine, we feel that there's an opportunity in front of us to heavily reinvest into the drill bit. And so this year we've outlined 50 kilometers of drilling, 50,000 meters of drilling at Pan alone. And if you look at it, it would kind of be a multi-phased approach here. The first phase focusing on the area of disturbance that's completely permitted. You know, so the Pan North and Pan South pits currently being mined. So we believe there's good potential in and around the pits for expandability of resources and pit expansion in between the pits. And our team there is all of the operators remained on as part of Calibre. And, you know, I've been talking with the exploration team down there, and they're really excited because they had all of these targets identified, and we're excited to go back in and drill a number of these targets, but cash was limited. You know, the team didn't take on any additional debt. They were very fiscally responsible. And so that presents us with the opportunity at Pan. And so a multi-phased approach this year at Pan, drilling within that area of disturbance for resource conversion, for expandability, to expand resources to the north and to the south. And we're currently drilling there with 5 rigs in total, 3 at Pan, 2 at Gold Rock. The focus is resource conversion initially. We'll then start stepping out on some new targets based on some of the drilling, and we'll be basing it on some of the drilling that we've done and some targets that have been identified by the VP of Exploration for Nevada, Paul Nolan. And then looking at some new targets to the south that splay off of the main Branham Fault, providing the source of fluid flow to these deposits. And in some of these areas that have never been drilled down to the south. So there's some fairly attractive targets with geochem anomalies with no drilling in them. So we do think there's some really good potential to expand resources, extend mine life at Pan. And at the same time, because we've got a strong balance sheet and because we're generating a lot of operating cash flow, we can self-fund all of that exploration. We can self-fund all of the gold rock development, infill drilling and resource expansion drilling. As I mentioned, we've got two rigs operating down there, doing some more sort of technical type drilling, infill, metallurgical drilling and testing, as well as geotechnical drilling, and then some resource expansion to the north. And so it's a great opportunity for us now to not have to pick and choose which opportunities are the best. We can we're drilling all of the different opportunities in front of us in Nevada and, in fact, in Nicaragua, all funded through cash flow. So no need to go back to the market or raise any capital at all.
All right, Ryan, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much for this broad overview, all the exploration that's ongoing. And we still didn't even get to a couple other projects in Nevada that the company holds. I'm sure we'll touch on those in future interviews. But hey, if anybody has any questions, specific questions on any of the exploration, on any of the assets or zones, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chad@kereport.com. We will get Ryan back on to address those questions and to provide an update on the back of some more news. Ryan, again, thank you for your time today, and we'll chat again soon.
Great, guys. Thanks very much. Stay well.